Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
You look like a dude who should be pumping my fucking gas.
This isn't doing it for me. I'm not getting enjoyment out of this.
He was a before the bell rings all-star.
All right, everybody. It is Wednesday night. That's right, Wednesday night, June 18th, 2025. You are listening to the podcast known as the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. You can listen to us, find us on thechairshot.com, where we remind you and encourage you to always use your head. I'm the man with the award-winning and holy beard, DJ. I'm going to go around the room and introduce this cast of characters like I do each and every week, starting with the resident high flyer of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. He hails from the Purple Haze and Cloud Nine. He is Bucky's tag team partner, man with the bionic back and destined to go through a barbershop window. Jason, sir, this is your show tonight. We're doing this on Wednesday, and you almost forgot about us.
Now, hold on. I did not almost forget about
you. Oh, here comes the spin.
I just got, you know, involved in doing what I was doing, and then all of a sudden you call, and I'm like, oh, yeah, there's a telephone call. Yeah, I have to do a show tonight. Oh, yeah, that was the whole thing that I started.
A show that I set up. Sorry, wife, I have to ditch you. Go hang out with my buddies and talk wrestling for a couple hours. I promise you we are not going to go a couple hours tonight.
We'll try not to.
Jason, sir, welcome back to the show. And the host of the Rob the Genius podcast, he is the minister of truth, the father of facts and figures, the deacon of data. He is the official shoot bear of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, the king of the power nap and Ray Cash's daddy, the man with the golden shovel. Rob, sir, how's your week?
All right, and don't you forget about me.
Rob's standing outside Jason's window with a boombox right now. Oh, that's classic. Yep, Jason set this up because Jason is going to spend time with some old high school friends of his we normally record on Thursday. As we peel back the curtain here a little bit, we air on Saturday. For those of you that have been watching, riding along with us all along, you know this. This has been the pattern for several years. But Jason wanted to record a night early because he's hanging out with some friends, and because we do our best to work together here as a team and accommodate, this is what we're doing. Wednesday night, wrestling podcast time, and we are talking women's wrestling tonight. We're going to take a little bit of a victory lap. Before we do, we want to throw a shout-out and a get-well-soon to Liv Morgan. Liv apparently injured herself pretty badly on Monday Night Raw this week. She took a face bump, braced herself with her arm, and when I watched the video, it looked like she jammed her arm. It didn't look like it was that severe of a bump, and it just goes to show you never know in this business. The most benign-looking things can actually be pretty devastating, and now the latest reports are saying that it's probably going to need surgery, and she could be out as little as 3, but as many as 6 months, which means she could potentially miss the rest of the year WWE time, and she is absolutely certainly going to miss the Evolution 2 Premium Live Event, which is the other topic that we want to discuss here tonight. So first, injuries always suck. We don't wish injuries on anybody, even if we're not really fans. Liv Morgan, unfortunate incident. Got to be heavily featured, you know, in WWE's creative for the rest of the year. Now things have to shift gears a bit, and we'll talk about that a little bit more. But yeah, Liv, get well soon. Good luck with whether it's surgery, rehab, or whatever it is. Either one of you guys want to chime in?
Today they indicated that or the sheets or whoever indicated that surgery was unfortunately going to be the option. So just, I mean, as someone who is not a proverbial, well, I mean, she's been knocking on the door of being a proverbial horsewoman of the women's division in the last couple of years. So, like, yeah, it just sucks, dude. Like, and it's gonna, thankfully they have Raquel, or excuse me, they have, what's it, I'm completely blank, Roxanne, for Raquel as, like, a feed-in partner, but, man, this just tosses, first of all, get well soon, Liv, like, yes, obviously, like, just get that out of the way. Do what you gotta do. Take all the time off you need to. Spend all the time in the gym you need to. Do not rush back, because we will be here. Like, please make sure that you young person with many, 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 many years ahead of you in this industry, please take care of yourself first and foremost. Second of all, like, it just sucks, because it torpedoes so many people's storylines. And it torpedoes, like, and I know storylines don't seem that crazy, but it affects people's career.
I'm so, looking at it more from, bummer, from her perspective, because it looks like moving forward into the Evolution Premium Live event, I'm going to give Rob in a minute. I'm going to give Rob his floor here in a minute. It looked like they were moving forward with a program with potentially her and Raquel versus the Bella Twins. And that's got to stink for Liv, because while the Nikki Bella has said she's back for the foreseeable future, the opportunity to work with these women is a very narrow window. And if you're losing 6 months of that window, that sucks for Liv, because you got to believe she's probably pretty excited about the opportunity to work with them. Rob, you got anything? Any words here?
Yeah, and it stinks. And because, I mean, we just got Asuka back, and of course Charlotte just got back a few months ago, and so now we got another injury, and that it sucks. And because she was about to, they were going to, from all indications, they were going to do that at Evolution, and now unfortunately that's not going to happen. And And she's become kind of like the facilitator on Raw, basically. Just like a lot of things, like a lot of things just run in different directions through kind of like, people transition from one to the next facing her. Some people have gone from one program with somebody else to something with her. She's been kind of like the, even like, she's, again, like, she's, like, just below where, like, Rhea and Becky are and all of that. But she's been the, basically the workhorse, because, Becky only wrestles a few times on TV a year now. Rhea's been wrestling more this year, but in the past couple of years, she hadn't wrestled on TV a whole lot either. And I think she had the most matches. I'm looking it up now, actually. Okay, well, she had the most matches on Raw out of anybody this year. And when you combine, she had a couple matches, she's had a few matches on SmackDown also. So I think she's probably had the most combined number of TV matches, of any woman on the roster this year. And so that itself is a big loss, because, with some of the other women, they don't want to, if you're not going, if you're going to have, Becky and Rhea not wrestle as often on TV, then somebody has to do that, right? And it has to be somebody who the audience actually cared about, right? And because we saw last year that, they, with all the people out, they got kind of stuck putting people on TV in a lot of matches. They got crickets. So she was doing a really good job at that. And it just being the kind of the workhorse on TV for the division, for at least on Raw, definitely. And so now, like, somebody else is they're going to have to get somebody else to do that. And so, you know, maybe that's Roxanne. Roxanne is definitely up to the job.
Yeah.
But she would probably be the first choice. Because, again, Asuka just got back, and you're not, so you, like, you're not going to overwork Asuka at this point. And you're not going to overwork Becky at this point, or Bayley. I mean, and, you know, Rhea's had injury stuff herself in the past, so you got to, you know, you got to be careful. And even though she is wrestling more this year, you do have to be, you do have to be careful with her, because Rhea goes full tilt, like, all the time, and so injuries can happen with her. So, you know, you, so you got to be, you know, sparing with her TV matches. So, yeah, I mean, it's, and Liv has stepped into that this year. So now, again, they're going to have to, you know, find somebody else to do that.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, look, and yes, I mean, Roxanne could do it. Lyra could do it. I think those would probably be the two main candidates. But it's a big hole to fill, because, you know, I mean, there was a time where, you know, in the early days of the brand split, you know, the all the women you had worked all the time, but they've transitioned more to a, you know, the, you know, there's certain women that don't wrestle as often on TV now, and but the only way that works is if you got to have other people who, you know, step up and do that. And so she's been that this year. And so it's not an insignificant loss, I'll say.
No, it's kind of, she's, okay, when you put, you know, Charlotte and Rhea and, you know, Bianca in this stratosphere, Liv has kind of graduated into that gatekeeper role. Like, the road to the main event, the road to the big dance goes through Liv Morgan is kind of, I think, the short version of what, you know, Rob is trying to say. And she's been excellent in that role. So, yeah, when all points kind of go through her and she's not there anymore.
Put it this way. Like, the numbers don't matter. So put it however you want. But at this point in WWE, she is not a four-horsewoman, but she is the fifth. You know,
she's a major player on the roster, exactly. and an important,
like, right,
cog in the
next
wheel.
Step down.
Yeah,
whatever, so the next step down is from the top players, she's there, and she's been there for a while.
And that's an excellent spot to be in. I never slight that position. Somebody's got to work it, and she's got it on lockdown, man. She's so good at that.
That's how I feel. Are you kidding me? I'm hanging out with you two guys, and I'm just happy to be here.
Because actually, a lot of times, like, that person, just like, they call the Intercontinental title the workhorse title, that person will actually get more TV time in a lot of instances and more matches than, you know, the people who are, quote unquote, bigger names.
Yeah.
You know, I think like Tito Santana, you know, back in the 80s. Tito probably got more matches on TV and more matches, period, than Hogan and Savage and a lot of those guys. And so, like, you need people like that, and then the division has long needed somebody like that, because the division has always been top heavy, and it's always been, you know, the top women, and then, you know,
wrestling is top heavy.
Well, yeah, but you need for things to really work.
Come on,
I know, but for things to really work, you need people who are.
Just in general, like, wrestling is top heavy. Like, sports entertainment is top heavy. Most sports are top heavy. And so, when these women are working uphill in a snowstorm to be, you know, still considered equitable or equal or whatever you want to call it, then, yeah, man. So.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is that there hasn't been a women's, like, Tito Santana.
No, and I would say Liv is probably as close as we've gotten to that recently. And that's not to say that there aren't a lot of women putting in good work and working hard, but it's more the role. You know, the role within the company is what she's, you know. So, but yeah, no, very, very keeping Liv Morgan in our thoughts here, and hopefully, you know, a good positive recovery. And as like Jason said a few minutes ago, don't rush it. Take all the time you need. This will be here when you come back. It won't be hard for Liv Morgan to get back in her lane. So,
yeah.
No.
So, the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, as we talk Liv Morgan and we talk Evolution 2, we want to take a minute here and take a victory lap. WWE announced about a month or so ago that the Evolution Premium Live event was returning. We were getting Evolution 2. We have been on the front lines for women's wrestling and a follow-up to Evolution, one, since this podcast, as long as this podcast has been a thing, and as personal fans individually, we've supported women's wrestling even longer than we've been doing this podcast. We have been begging for Evolution 2 since Evolution 1 ended. Like, that was such a good event, and it was such a great showcase for the women. It was wonderfully booked. The talent showed up and showed out. Absolutely incredible, and I have yet to see a credible reason beyond it just didn't draw, and there's a discussion to be had there, for why they never did another one. They've got the depth of talent on the women's roster from the very top all the way down the card is incredible. Just incredible, incredible talent. There are plenty of women. One could argue they could do a weekly women's wrestling show, and people probably still would not get TV time. That's how many women they have on their roster between Raw, between SmackDown, between NXT, Evolve, and LFG. You know, there's so many women at every level of WWE programming. There's no reason not to do an annual all-women's premium live event.
Well, DJ, it's also not just they have a ton of women. They have a ton of talented women.
Oh, yeah. The talent is like, so deep.
If you're just doing the... Obviously, they don't work for the company. We're just doing the rosters as if they were, you know, sports teams. The NXT women's roster is probably the best on the planet.
Yes. Sean like, has built one hell of a roster
and everything
down there.
Like that. Like, the TNA one is very good, but it's top-heavy. And SmackDown is this, and Raw is this, and blah, 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 blah. And New Japan doesn't have one, and AEW is over there. But NXT probably has the best division on the planet, but I also don't, as I say that, as an e-drone, I don't think it's head and shoulders. I don't even think it's shoulders above anyone. It's just the top one.
Well, I think it's utilized the best. That's the biggest.
That probably helps a lot.
It's like, yeah. I mean, if you were just to watch a film and judge each roster on their actual wrestling acumen, they would not be first place. No. But when you combine talent plus usage, then yes, they absolutely are the best, and they are the most consistent because virtually everyone else is up and down depending on what part is, depending on where we are in the year. And they're the only ones that really don't really fluctuate up and down, that don't lurch up and down.
And it also, it also depends on your top girls, because frankly, Jacksonville has Mercedes as one of their top girls, and I am just done and bored, and I don't care anymore with Mercedes.
But what I'm saying is it's a
totality.
Yeah.
Well, Tony also has the luxury of having one of the best women's wrestlers on the planet, and he doesn't put her on TV in Athena.
Yeah.
You know? No, DJ. He puts her on limited subscription-based YouTube shows, which is where you want to put your...
Fuck that.
Actually, yeah. It's not even... I'm sorry, it's not even on YouTube. It's ROHHonorClub.com.
Yeah, the paywall of honor, I guess.
Paywall of honor.
But yeah. I will always understand, like, the paywall. And I will, in this day and age and all that stuff, because, you know, you gotta make money. Sorry, it is what it is. Anybody who on the planet is in the business of making money. But man, it's just you took something that was, sorry, he bought it in what, 2020? It's no more easily accessible than it was then.
Actually, well, okay, so he bought it in I think he bought it at the end of 21. Because mm-hmm. that's when they had Final Battle, and it's particularly egregious because the other people who have held Ring of Honor championships have been on television.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, when you're the big TV guy and I have my wrestling show on the Turner family of networks, you look kind of pussy, man. Like, well, look, you have big influence with these guys. Well, you can't get one special a month shit.
But he puts the other all the other Ring of Honor champions have been on Dynamite, though.
Right.
That doesn't matter.
It's a theme that you're putting on there.
It would matter. Look, if she was
the... No, he doesn't, though. He doesn't put Athena on TV. Well, he does now, but...
That's his point.
For a year and a half, she was person non grata.
Jason, take a deep breath. That's the point he's trying to make.
The point, like, the Ring of Honor world champion, whether it was Cesaro or Briscoe or Chris Jericho, they all wrestled on Dynamite.
The dudes?
Yes, Dustin and Sammy Guevara, tag team champions. They were just on... They've been
the dudes?
On Dynamite.
Yes.
Yes.
That's the point he's trying to make.
That's the point I'm trying to make.
No, I'm saying, I'm agreeing with you. It's like, the best women's wrestling division in the world that Tony talks about.
So let's reel this back in and get back to Evolution. I don't want to talk AEW and their woes and Tony's buffoonery. We want to talk Evolution 2. We still have that. They're just now teasing what we're going to have. They made any official match announcements, because I'm about a week behind on WWE TV.
They haven't. The only one they've announced is that there's going to be an NXT Women's Title match there.
Okay, that's right. I do remember that one.
That's the only one. That's the only thing that's been announced.
Okay.
So,
but you have to figure.
The only matches on the card right now are JC Jane versus Jada Parker, or obviously the NXT Championship match, and then they also have. Isn't the tag team championship going to do something? No, never mind.
Well, right. they didn't announce that yet. They were heading in that direction, obviously. But
what about Sol Ruka? Didn't they announce a match with her and like a AAA talent or something?
I
see that somewhere? Maybe I'm making that up in my.
I think it.
Well, because the Great American Bash is the same weekend.
All right, maybe it's there. I thought they had announced a match for Evolution with Sol Ruka and the Women's North American Championship. So,
Godless, it was 7 years ago that we did the first Evolution.
Dude, time has no meaning anymore. I'm sitting there trying to wrap my head around how has it been 7 years since they did that. I do the same thing with the Mae Young Classic, too. When I think about the Mae Young Classic in my head, it was 4, maybe 5 years ago. It was almost 9.
Well,
another Mae Young probably doesn't work because there aren't as many free agents as there were 5 years ago.
Yeah, because Tony's got whoever they don't.
And plus,
right, exactly. And TNA stepped up, and ROH is whatever. but everybody's kind of stepped up, and the wrestling has gotten more lucrative in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
Well, and plus,
like it has across all boards.
Yeah, the Mae Young Classic was basically it was a recruiting thing disguised as a tournament.
Yes,
right. And I'm not bashing that at all. That environment is not the same where WWE can grab these people who are basically one step away from the major leagues.
Right.
And just say, hey, do you want it? You want a shot at a contract? And they all go, yes. Although now it's, well, no, I don't. I have a contract with AEW, or I have a contract with Stardom, or I have a contract with TNA. Like, I have a contract with Ring of Honor. I'm good.
Yeah.
So it is way different now.
Yeah. So it has been, so on the one hand, look, it's great that they're doing it. I do think that the in which they announced it needs a lot to be desired.
Yeah, they're just like, dude, oh yeah, by the way.
Fuck off. During a commercial break, they were just like, or coming back from a commercial, or going to a commercial, they were like, oh, by the way, we're doing an Evolution 2. It's going to be here and here, and it's going to be here. And we have no matches announced. Okay. Bye.
Oh, yeah, by the way, Great American Bash. Kidding me? Yeah, Great American Bash, yeah, too.
And they followed up immediately, right. It was a twofer. It was Great American Bash with NXT. And I'm like,
yeah.
Okay, if I'm running the show, Evolution gets its own announcement, like, in the middle of the show with Charlotte Flair or you know, Liv Morgan or Becky Lynch or fucking somebody.
Well,
or Liv, Trish Stratus, I don't care.
Well, and that's the argument you can make here, because if the argument for not doing another one was because not enough people went to see it live or watched on, I think it was still on the network at the time, not enough people watched on the network, then if you're going to try to do it again, my guess would be that you promote the fucking thing properly. You know, don't just say, oh, yeah, we're doing Evolution by the tube. Oh, and by the way, here's the Bellas. What?
Now, if they get more than this Eliminator match and maybe some more things on the card and they really, really ramp it up, I'll kind of understand. But at this point, I'm like, come on, guys. Because, like, I was joking, like, in the last couple episodes. Like, they made this announcement, what, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
And we were like, oh, by the way, we didn't talk about it. Because kind of they didn't talk about it.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. That kind of announcement is for the bubble. Okay? We need Evolution to reach outside the bubble so that more people will watch it, more people will understand, hey, women's wrestling ain't a joke anymore. You know, we're taking this seriously. The women are taking it seriously. They're actually out here wrestling instead of just making it a tits and ass show. You know, that's the people you want to reach. And, you know, we're treating it, it almost felt like an afterthought.
It definitely did. And that's fucked up. Like, because we've been beating this drum and being like, okay, it's not, sorry, it's, and maybe at this point it is, and it will fluctuate every couple of years, but it's not something that you can just put on the calendar every year until 2050.
No,
you can't. It's not WrestleMania. It's not the Royal Rumble. You're going to ebb and flow. It's just going to be the way it is. But you are in a fucking flow right now, more than you have ever been.
Yeah.
Women have main evented WrestleMania. Like, just act like, again, act like the women are part of the show and not a sideshow and not whatever. Act like it's exactly announcing, like, a cruiserweight tournament. Hey, we have a bunch of dudes who work here, and they're all cruiserweights, and we're going to make them fight. Hey, we have a bunch of women here, and they're all wrestlers, and we're going to make them fight. There we go. It's not that hard, guys.
Yeah, and it's... well, it's 2 weeks after Night of Champions, so... You know, they got to get all that in. So, I mean, like, they really got to amp things up during those 2 weeks.
That's a lot of wrestling, and you run the risk of overexposure and oversaturating your own market. And I feel like, because you've got, what was it, Rob? Night of Champions, you said?
Yeah, that's in
Great American Bash, Evolution, all within this little cluster. And it's
DJ,
like...
I'll give them this. You're right. Like, it's a little cluster, and Night of Champions might affect the women's championships. So, unfortunately, maybe, and I'm giving them a huge benefit of the doubt right now, but maybe there's a situation where there's going to be some title change or some title changes or whatever where... You know, things are going to get weird, and then, Rob, like you were talking about, that last 2 weeks towards Evolution are going to be crazy. I could see that, but at the same time, I would have liked a little more pomp and circumstance about the just initial announcement.
At this point, it'll for me, it will determine how much they put into the build, and I always hate having the build discussion, because I feel like we do this every year for WrestleMania. people get on the internet and bitching about, oh, there's no build, there's no build. Meanwhile, they're giving you and feeding you WrestleMania storylines and angles and everything going into it. As long as, and if you watch the product and actually watch it, you see it. So I'm hoping that they do that with the women and, you know, treat it like it's something and not one of these situations where they went, okay, let's do Evolution 2 and they're going to watch it because it's WWE. Don't worry about it. Which, with some of this stuff, that's kind of like what I feel like they do. And maybe they're right. You know, maybe at this point, like Jason said, we're on the hand is hot, you know, and they're rolling shit out as fast as they can while the hand is still hot, under the assumption that, hey, it's WWE, people are going to watch it. I hope they're right. I hope enough people watch it to make it worth doing again, because I, you know, as we've always said on this show, as much as we tease Rob differently, you know, more women's wrestling is always better. You know, it's better for everybody, and the women are putting in incredible work. You know, at one of Rob's top matches, and I don't just mean top women's matches, Rob's match of the year up until recently, and I don't know if that's changed, was a women's match.
Yeah, well, now I'm with the TLC matches for me now, but yeah, up until then, yes. And also, this is a rare window, because we've talked before about how the last year we talked about the need, how they needed, you know, the big guns back. This year, I mean, well, Bianca's out, she's got her hand is injured still, but at this point last year, there was no Becky, no Charlotte, no Asuka, no Alexa Bliss, and they're all back now. Mm. And look, this year, and then Bianca will be back soon. And then, of course, Rhea's still there. Like, you know, this year and next year, maybe, like, we're talking, like, this might, you know, this is going to be one of the last, you know, this year and next year probably are very, very well, maybe likely the last that we have all of them here. Right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, and because, you know, they're going to do, you know.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Just for different reasons, right? I mean, right. They might be, some of them will be filming things. Some of them, may have children or have more children if they want to do that.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
You mentioned Asuka's in her, she's up at that age. She's already said that they're, she's already admitted, look, there are more years behind than there are ahead.
Yes. Yes. That's so what I was getting at.
Yeah. And even, look, Bayley's contract is up next year, I think. And you know what? I mean, she'd be justified in signing up and staying, she'd be justified in jumping. She's kind of in that place where you could see either one happening. This year and next year is probably, we're talking about having the whole band together. This next couple of years and still be able to get people like the Bellas to come in and work and still be able to get Trish Stratus to come in and work. We got maybe another year or two of this.
Yeah.
Before people start breaking off, or Asuka, like I said, Asuka's year to year at this point. Trish and the Bellas, this year for them just might be like, okay, we can do this year, and then we really got to call it quits. this could be it for them. I think the time is. To do this show is this year, absolutely. But like you're saying, they should, I think they should put a little more juice into it. I mean, I think personally, if I had it my way, I would do it, probably do it in October, like the first one was, because that's during a lighter time in the year.
Yeah, and because, you can dedicate more energy to it.
Yeah, because this, I mean, it's been a big, since from Backlash up until now, it's been a deluge of stuff.
And, yeah.
And that's funny because James Gunn mentioned that about, you know, Marvel Studios. He's from DC now. He said that, you know, they run this mandate from Disney to put out X number of things a year, you know, after Endgame. And that a lot of stuff was put out unfinished, basically, because they were, meeting dates and all that to get so many things out. And like, it's kind of like it seems like they were under some imperative to book X number of things this year.
Yeah.
And so that's why you have this big kind of deluge of stuff since May. And, you know, I think it would been better to, you know, do this later in the year when the calendar is lighter. But at the same time, look, it's here.
As they say, content is king.
Yeah, it's here. We gotta, and we cannot, we should not crap on it. We should not crap on whatever the actual product is, you know, just because we don't like when they scheduled it.
Right. And that's, at the end of the day, that is the moral of this, and the point of this entire episode is, guys, we got to watch. You know, for those of you that legitimately want better for the women, we have to do our part, because not speaks volumes. When we don't watch, we don't tune in, we don't buy tickets, we don't buy merch, that sends a very loud and clear message to WWE. They don't care. Like, that tells them they don't...
I'm still convinced that was part of the... I'm still convinced that was because they've never, ever, 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 ever told us the actual numbers for Evolution 1. I'm convinced it was still a little lighter than they expected.
Whatever the whole,
because it was on the network. It was not even on, like, HBO, wasn't on, like, pay-per-view, wasn't on whatever. So you had to be a WWE fan to even fall into that. So I think it was even lighter than they suspected. I still don't think it was as light enough to, you know, justify them
waiting 7
dragging
years.
Their heels, especially as we've seen the rest of the, whole, you know, division just continue to move on and then, like, explode and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So...
ultimately, I think a lot of it comes down to us as fans. You know, I mean, you consider and you can blame booking and you can say, oh, well, they only push who they like. And they, okay, there's a certain amount of truth to that. But they're also not going to turn down money. Now, if you know this, but WWE is in the business of making money. And if we give them our money, they'll continue to give us more of what they're making the money at. And if they're making money off of women's wrestling, they're going to continue to give us the women's wrestling. So some of
right.
this,
so
yes,
buy
does...
your shirts, buy your shows, buy the pay-per-views that women are main eventing and all that stuff. I feel like there are a lot of people online in the IWC who talk a lot of talk and do not back it up with their actions or their wallet.
Don't change the channel when they're on TV. Sit down and watch their stuff. Nope. It's a joint effort here, us and them. You know, them as a promotion to make us care about it, us as a consumer to actually care about it. You know, and it's you can't be performative. You can't get on, you know, the app formerly known as Twitter and do your hashtags and your big movements there. The movement happens in real time when they're on TV, when they're actually performing. When that's performance. That's what WWE looks at. They only loosely, peripherally keep an eye on the app formerly known as Twitter and Reddit and whatever else that you're going on and typing your 3,000 word essays on about how you want more for the women. Oh, there's something else on TV tonight. I ain't watching that. Well,
it's just you have to, your online support has to translate into
actual data.
Show. Because, because online stuff is particularly like, Twitter and Facebook views are very sketchy as far as how they even determine those. So it's got, yeah, I mean, it's got to translate.
No, but I would say even your views and ratings and like actual empirical data that you watch what they are providing, whether it's good or not. Like, yeah, it's going to be good one Monday, and then it's going to be bad the next Monday, and then it's going to be okay the following Friday, and then it's going to be fucking amazing the following Sunday, just like the men's wrestling guys.
Yes, exactly. And now look at like the NFL. There's 16 NFL games every week. Half of the games stink.
That's being generous, Rob.
Yeah, that's being generous. At least half of them stink every week. Okay, and if you're lucky,
the reason Red Zone was invented.
Yeah, if you're lucky, you get a 1 o'clock game that's really good. You get a 4 o'clock game really good, and then Monday Night Football is good. If you're lucky on a lucky weekend, okay. But there are a lot of weekends where 1 o'clock stinks, 4 o'clock stinks, Monday Night Football stinks, right? And then and the only joy you get out of the weekend is if your team won, right? I mean, there are a lot of NFL weekends that go that way.
Even if the game sucked, if your team won, it was a great game.
Well, yeah, I mean, you get something out of it if your team good. But there are NFL weekends where that is literally the only redeemable quality of that slate of games is that, the Commanders won. So, but there are weekends where the Commanders won and then the other 15 games were terrible.
But that one week they sent them home happy.
Then Jason has the same experience, right? I mean, there are weeks where the Patriots win, but everybody, the other 15 games are lousy, right? And
hey, we had like 28 billion years of whatever, so I'll take it.
I just like it because I don't have to listen to another NBA offseason of Jason bragging about his Celtics.
Yeah, but
that was a painful offseason.
That's rude. My best player blew his Achilles up. That's rude. You don't got to be fucking rude.
I didn't mention anything injury. You know, we don't support injuries here. I'm just saying as a general statement, I don't have to listen to you brag about the NBA champions, the Boston Celtics, for a season.
But
not for another couple hours.
Okay, anyhow. But the point is, look, for example, like, okay, the Cena stuff is doing big numbers all year. Has been doing big numbers all year. Okay. Every segment of his, there have been some great segments with him. There have been some not so great segments with him. Okay. But everybody's watching regardless, right? And so if you're going to be a real advocate for women's wrestling, you got to treat it the same way. You got to sit through the stuff that doesn't get executed as well. You also got to sit through it, like, because look, everybody doesn't like John Cena. Everybody doesn't like Cody, right? But people don't run away from the television when they're out there. So,
and look, here's the other part of it. If you're going to be loud online about the things that you don't like in the women's division, great, fine. Let's just say there are 9-10 women's sequences or segments every week between all the shows. How about you talk about two of them that you did like? You know, if you're that fan and you want this to be good, talk about on your social media, talk about the things that you did like. Don't just bitch about the shit you didn't like.
Yeah, well, don't just.
Why don't we talk about something that happened?
That's a bigger fan thing, but still.
Why don't we talk about something that happened this week in women's wrestling that we did like? Let's put over that finish with Jada Parker and Thea Hale. Jason, you brought this up. Take the floor.
Oh, my God. So, I honestly, I was flipping channels. I don't even know what the match was for. I don't know if it's a it was a qualifier for the Evolution tournament, right?
So, they had four singles matches last night, and the winners are all going to this Fatal 4-Way next week. And whoever wins the Fatal 4-Way is challenging for the title of Evolution.
Okay. So, Jada Parker and Thea Hale had a match. The match was perfectly awesome, but the finish, man. Thea got Jada in her little armbar thing, locked it in, and as soon as she even started to actually lock it in, I don't think it would be like fully, if it was a video game animation, it would not be fully like to the end. Jada got in the armbar, in the arm lock, and then started subtly tapping with her right hand on her right thigh, which was perfectly out of view of the referee. As soon as Thea felt that tap, Thea let go of the hold and was like, "Yay, I did it!" And turned around, and the ref was like, "What are you talking about?" And the ref is like, "I didn't see. What are you talking about?" And then Thea gets blown up from behind by Jada, rolls up, and we're out of here. Like, I can't describe it perfectly. Rob can't describe it any better than I did, and DJ can't either. Please go watch the end of that match, because that was one of the best finishes to a match that I've ever seen. Not just how it was booked, but how everyone was in position and did their thing fucking perfect. The ref was in the exact right position, so in real life, there's actually no way he saw that little tap. Jada did the tap perfectly. She did it subtly and moved it like she was actually playing a trick on Thea. And Thea, using like the character that we know of Thea to this point over the last 3 years, she's like, "Oh, I did it! Yay!" It's like, "Wait for the bell, sweetheart." And she got blown up. Like, that was one of the best finishes in like, and DJ, you said, WWE has been doing whatever you think of the booking, the whatever, the matches, the finishes. They have been pulling out some amazing finishes in the last couple of months, and this is no different. This one is a top whatever. Like, I will talk about this one for a while, because not because of how overcomplicated it was and how fancy it was or anything like that.
The execution.
It wasn't that complicated. Everyone did it fucking perfect. Exactly, DJ. Execution.
Yeah. And because they were in a situation where really neither one of those girls could stand to lose a match right now, so they had to come up with some. They had to come up with some type of ending that didn't make the loser look like a. Like a loser.
It was a protect.
And the ending played perfectly to both of their characters.
It was a protective finish. It really was.
Right, and but not
like,
but
I don't even mean like the protective finish where the loser ends up like looking okay. I mean a protective finish where everyone behaved the way their character is supposed to. And I hate that I'm saying that, because in wrestling, that's not that, like, obviously we have to smile and wink and kind of, like, turn our heads, you know, when we see some certain finishes. This one, nope, we're just like, yeah, that's how it goes.
That's believable. Yeah. Rob, you were going to say?
And well, because, and also, even though, you know, my girl did not win, they had a very clever finish last Friday in the, you know, it was one of the qualifying, one of the Queen of the Ring tournament matches, and so Charlotte had Alba Fyre in the figure eight, and then Alexa did the Sister Abigail on to, was it, was it Candice? Yeah.
It was Candice LeRae.
Yeah, so then the ref counted three, and then, you know, and you know, Charlotte had Alba tied up in the figure eight, so she couldn't get loose to break up the, and then plus also she thought Alba was about to tap out, so she was committed to it.
At the count of three, Alba did start to tap. If you go back and watch the tape, as soon as the ref comes down for three, Alba, perfect timing, starts to tap. And I was on the app formerly known as Twitter as that clip was making its rounds, because, again, brilliant finish, makes a lot of sense. People were asking, well, how come Charlotte didn't, you know, let go of the hold and go break up the pin? One, because you didn't see it. If you look at the way Charlotte's got the figure eight applied, she's in a full back bend, a bridge, facing the opposite direction. She doesn't see what's going on the other side of Alba. Alba is flailing away, selling the figure eight, while little itty bitty Alexa Bliss and little itty bitty Candice LeRae are doing the Sister Abigail. So, and Charlotte, again, when you're thinking of this as a competitive fight, in your head, I've got my move locked in. I'm not letting go until this chick taps. you lose spatial awareness as to what's going on around you. So yeah, in the real world, it's totally believable that Charlotte didn't even know there was a pinfall happening 18 inches away from her.
Yeah.
Once again, that's one of those things that's one of the few sequences that would benefit from the, like, whatever the equivalent of the NFL's, like, all 24 camera is.
Yeah.
Like the big camera that just sees the whole ring. Like, yeah, no, she got screwed.
Yep.
And also, well, I'm going to put both Charlotte and Alexa over here also, because they were in a four-way match with two girls who had no chance of winning. And yes. They
made them look believable.
Yes, they did it. They both did everything they could to give both of those girls believable offense. And it didn't look convoluted or, you know, crazy or anything. And they both put in a hell of an effort to make that match as believable as possible.
There were moments in that match where I went, maybe? I mean, those moments might have lasted for, like, those moments might have lasted for a couple of seconds, but I went, maybe? So.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and put Candice LeRae over here a little bit. I really wish something with her would catch on, because I'd love to see her move up a step. I'd love to see her have some more regular one-on-one matches with Charlotte, with Bayley, with Naomi, eventually Bianca, whenever Bianca comes back, Asuka, because if you unleash Candice LeRae a little bit, she can go out there and have a banger with just about anybody on that roster. And
I mean, I've been saying that for a while, man.
We've been beating Candace the drum for Candice. Yeah, she's
DJ, the official name for the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. Candice Untapped LeRae.
Yeah. Untapped potential there, like, man.
Aside from the what was it? The way. That was it.
No, I wish they would just loosen up the reins a little bit and let her go out there. But again, this comes back to the fans. You got to latch on to what she's doing. One, booking needs to give us a little bit more to sink our teeth into. But two, fans need to watch it. I hope at some point they do. I think Candice is amazing. And the work rate nerd in me is fantasy booking Candice LeRae against the top women in WWE, and in my head, the matches are incredible. And I'd like to see that play out in real time.
To put it to anyone who hasn't seen the wrestlings or Johnny Gargano or Candice on the indies, like, and I mean their whole career, I would sacrifice, as much as I love him, Johnny, and I love his partner, you know, Ciampa, I would flip their careers. If I had the book, and if I had the, you know, whatever, and if I had the druthers to say, hey, no, we're going to put the booking machine behind Candice, not Johnny, just at step one, I would have done it. Like, just to put it to our listeners who don't know what Candice is capable of,
look her up on YouTube, man. Awesome. She was a beast on the indies.
Yeah.
Nope. And she's not afraid of any. There are, again, what's the one thing that I will tell everybody about Candice LeRae? I saw her take a spiked boot super kick from the Young Bucks to the face, and she did not. There was no nothing. Like, she took that thing full on to the face, and her face was bleeding like fucking crazy.
Give it to me, baby.
Is awesome.
Because, well, and I gotta admit that, you know, my 14 time women's champion would say, not gonna work for me, brother. That was
She ain't taking a loaded super kick from the box.
Right, brother. My tribal chief would say, not gonna work for me, brother. So, hey. It is what it is.
So, yeah, but this is an official movement on the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. Push Candice Untapped LeRae. Hashtag that.
There you go, baby.
All right, guys, I think I'm good here. Do we have anything else before we want to get out of here, or do we want to call it an early night?
Well, people know I keep track of how many matches people are doing and whatnot every year and week and everything. I just got to say, this year in particular, across the entire industry, has been a bounce back year. 2023 in particular was bad. It was bad year pretty much everywhere, for different reasons. Last year was actually, there was a lot of improvement. AEW was much improved last year. NXT was, you know, doing everything great last year. But now on the main roster of WWE, there were a lot of big names missing, as if I, like I mentioned previously. This year, at least for television in particular, has been a real, it's been a good year everywhere. Having those names back in WWE has made a big difference. We talked about what contribution, you know, Liv was making before she got injured. In AEW, like, Tony and Mercedes have been wrestling on TV fairly often. And they've been getting a lot of their other women involved. TNA has really, if we want to talk about the benefits of the partnership, TNA's women's division has really benefited because, you know, earlier, look, they've been, for the past year or so, they've been just short because they lost a lot of people. Like last year, they lost, you know, Naomi and Mickie James and Deonna Purrazzo all at once, pretty much. And then this year they lost Jordynne Grace in January. But so the partnership with NXT has really helped them because they brought in a lot of NXT women to basically fill in spots. And now, so that has kept things fresh. That has given them people to work with. So, like, they've been a lot better. So just, yeah, I mean, so far on TV in particular, this has been a very good year for women's wrestling. And that's, you know, for all our criticisms of, you know, of all the different companies and whatnot, that's to be commended that everybody's doing better this year.
Real quick, as you talk TNA, I want to put something over. I watched I need to go back and finish it. I watched most of TNA Against All Odds that they aired on YouTube last week. TNA Knockouts champion Masha Slamovich had a match against the artist formerly known as Xia Li in WWE. I forget what she's calling herself, Li Zhao, Li something like that. Whatever she's going by now, they had an incredible match. Like, it was a really, really good match. And I was hoping to see Xia Li's progression since she was released from WWE. That was on full display here. She's gotten a lot better. I feel like if she continues to improve, maybe they take another glance at her in a year or two and give her another go, because that match was a lot of fun. If you haven't seen it, it should be on TNA's YouTube channel. It's Against All Odds. Great match. What I saw, the show was really good, but that match in particular stood out for me. I wanted to put that over real quick before we get out of here. And I want to remind everybody, as we've been talking all night, WWE Evolution 2 comes from the State Farm Arena in Atlanta, Sunday night, July 13th, 2025. Tune in, watch that one, support these women. If you really, really, truly give a damn about women's wrestling, and you've been following us long enough, you know how we feel about it, watch the show. It's on the Peacock. It's $5.99 a month or some shit if you want commercials. If you don't want commercials, drop a couple bucks more. Watch the show. Support the women. It's going to be a lot of fun. The last one was incredible. And I look for, as much as we may talk about the lack of effort put into promoting it right now, I think by the time the card gets here, the show is going to be a lot of fun. The talent is going to be incredible. This looks to be an all-timer, and I want more people to watch it.
And also, while we're putting stuff over, TNA Plus is announcing they're going to have a free tier of TNA Plus. I don't know if they already have it up and running, but it'll be up soon. But I highly recommend TNA Plus is a great streaming service. If you want to get one of the pay tiers, it's worth it. But if not, you know, the free tier is definitely would definitely be worth checking out. TNA Plus is an excellent streaming service. I can't put it over enough, and it is absolutely worth the price.
All right. Well, Jason, unless you got any last words, we're going to get out of here, Bubba.
I do not.
Okay. Well, then, before we get out of here, let me invite you to go over to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. From there, you can look at, browse, peruse, if you will, all the t-shirt options that are available from your favorite Chairshot Radio Network podcast, including the one you're listening to right now, the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. That's right. Go check out the t-shirts. Pick one up. The starting artists on these shows will thank you. Your body will thank you if you spend a couple extra bucks and pick one up in soft style. That is ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. Want to thank you all for listening to the 249th episode of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. 240 creeping up on 250 next week. 300's coming. We got less than a year now, as long as we stay on track and we deliver a weekly episode. By this time next year, we will be at 300 episodes. I'm going to have to come up with something big, maybe have some past guests on, maybe play a game or something. Still got a little bit of time to think about that, but for now, going to go back around the room, thank my co-host, starting with the host of the Rob the Genius podcast. Sir, Rob, thank you for another good show.
Yeah, always a pleasure.
And sorry about the not paying attention to the time. I totally, Rob got cut off in mid-sentence. Team shut us down. I'm like, I fell asleep at the wheel. Jason.
Evans.
Bucky's tag team partner. Sure. Sir, good energy tonight, man.
We had a good time. I'm happy to always talk about women's wrestling and tell people to watch more women's wrestling.
And we will continue to bang that drum as long as we continue to do this.
Hey, hang on. Let's take one victory lap. Like, you said it, and we talked about it and whatnot. But seriously, so we started in what year?
We're in the middle of year four. We've been doing this collectively as a team 3.5 years.
So that was a little bit after Evolution, and we have basically been beating the drum for Evolution every couple of weeks when we talk about women's wrestling, where it's like, yeah, guys, just put it on the network. Like, and we were asking for the bare minimum. We were like, just put it in the Performance Center, make it a yearly show, do this thing, and just keep building it. And now, finally, they're doing it, and they're doing it the right way. They're making it a grand poobah fucking huge celebration that it should be, with multiple titles on the line and all that good shit. And honestly, I'm okay with them not making the yearly thing, but let's not go this long ever again.
Yeah, definitely not. All right, remember, you can call it pro wrestling, you can call it sports entertainment, you can call it whatever you want, but call it in the ring, and we are out of here until next week.
I forgot I was doing the show.
You forgot you were doing the show? Motherfucker, this was your idea.
Yeah, it was my idea, but, you know, I was, you know, hanging out on the first day of my four-day vacation with my wife, having a good time. I forgot about you guys. Hold on.
And here I was. I'm sitting here because I sent out the message, well, letting you guys know I was ready.
I know I didn't forget about them, honey. I'm telling you that I forgot about them in the last half hour.
I'm recording, by the way, letting you guys know.
ADHD. Hold on, guys. Okay. I got to find my headphones.
Oh, this is great. No, I was sitting here thinking, I bet Jason fucking forgot. And this was his idea because he's got plans. He's meeting up with some old high school friends tomorrow. And we usually record on Thursday. And Jason's like, guys, can we go tonight? I'm like, sure. Rob's like, sure. Gets to be about 7:15. I send a message out to the guys. I said, let me know when you're ready. Nobody responded. So I sat and I sat and I sat and I sat. And I said, I bet Jason forgot. So I sent out another message. Rob said he was ready. And Jason got caught with his pants down. Because I bet Teams goes off on his phone, I think.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.